Amen. If you've been around here for a while, you know I typically share a little wrap-up of the year on the last Sunday and share a few thoughts about how we move on into a new year, and there's no point in breaking tradition at this point. So we started 2017 with our Rise and Build campaign, and God has blessed us as you've been faithful to give to the Building Fund. Thank you so much for your gifts. Continue to pay on those pledges, but the bills are paid. We're starting now to borrow funds, or no, not yet. We still haven't. So we've the needs have been met. We're kind of coming into the home stretch, and I know you're anxious to get in there. I am too. They're saying now middle of February, probably by the time we get everything done. Billy Joe used to say when they were building Victor, I'd ask, "So Billy Joe, when are you going to be done?" He said, "It'll be finished right on time." And so that's my answer as to when we're getting in there. We'll get in there right on time. The Lord's got it all figured out. But it's getting exciting. I walk in there every day and something's changed. And I walked in there. It's really going to be lovely. I just believe God's got something good in store in there. We spent the first part of 2017 preaching about Nehemiah and his challenge to the Israelites returning from exile to rise and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the city. And we made our pledges to the Building Fund, and again, thank you for your faithfulness in that. We then kind of got through that, a lengthy little series on Nehemiah, preached a Lenten series that focused on the cross and what Jesus accomplished through his death and resurrection and ascension to heaven. May the 7th is the Sunday we moved here into the gym, and let me say thanks again to everybody that's worked so hard to make having service in the gym possible, and Pastor Jeff and Brian and Bryce worked to get projectors up and lights and stuff. Bless Matt Bruner, who tears down and sets up tables and chairs. I don't know if you've kept track, Matt, somewhere in the millions of times he stacked these chairs and brought them down anyway, but well, that's not true. But anyway, thousands and thousands of times, and so thank you for all the work. You know what? I'm thankful for the leadership back in the 70s that said, let's build a gymnasium down there at the other end of this thing. And Brother McQueen was the pastor then, 76, 77, when they built this. And you that were on the board or serving in leadership, thank God for you. Because we would have been in a whole different situation a couple of times now that we've met down here when we remodeled the sanctuary back in whenever that was, 90, and then to be down here again. So thank the Lord for the wise men and women who said, yeah, that'll be a good plan, and you gave to build a gym back in the 70s. Boy, it's paying off, so thank you very much. We spent the summer focusing on the personal work of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We spent a few weeks in the fall talking about storms that we encounter on the journey. We celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. We talked about the basis for our faith and God's Word, and then we spent 4 weeks in an important series on biblical sexuality that I think is important for our times. That led us to Advent as we focused on the miracle of the Incarnation and the message heaven sent to us as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In spite of being in the gym, we've seen numbers increase on Sundays and Wednesdays. Tammy had said, I don't know if anybody else sees it, but I know the numbers are going up because we got more babies in the art park than we used to have. And so we're thankful for new folk that have joined us on this journey. Our Wednesday service, as Sarah mentioned, continues to grow with new people. And I'm thankful to say not just people changing churches, but people that haven't been attending church that have come and found God and found acceptance and new family and friends here at Carbondale. And I thank the Lord for that. And if you're part of our homecoming Wednesday night in here, we spent half the year talking about a Bible study of the book of James, spent the rest of the time talking about the prophet Elijah. New Community has spent the year studying the book of Acts with Pastor Brian. Pastor Jeff has had more than 40, I guess, find Jesus as Savior in youth service. He mentioned out of the, I think there's 16 or 18 guys on the basketball team at Webster, 15 of those guys have accepted Jesus and are coming here on Wednesday night to Kagi. So isn't that cool? And the youth and their small group have studied the whole armor of God and the parables of Jesus and the importance of godly relationships and friendships. Ended the year, Pastor Jeff doing an emphasis on the importance of worship. Pastor Brittany's done a great job upstairs with our children on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. They focused on the importance and value of prayer. She did a lengthy series on the Lord's Prayer as the kids studied the Lord's Prayer. Another series on the prophet Elisha. They too on Wednesday nights looked at parables of Jesus and the importance of putting on the whole armor of God. They taught our children the importance of committing God's Word to memory and hungering after God. So thank the Lord for what's going on with our children and youth. Adult Sunday School focused on the fundamental truths of the assemblies of God. We continue to look for ways to equip believers and to teach the Word of God. 2017 saw Carbondale blessing the community in a multitude of ways. Day of Hope was another tremendous success, and people that are here this morning because they came on Day of Hope. We've continued to distribute groceries on a daily basis on our monthly Sunday food share. We shared Christmas gifts with the elementary students at Robertson and Clinton West, which is the school that pulled together the three elementary schools over here. We've given generously to missions, home missions, and world missions. The cool thing about going to Robertson for, and I was the guy in the red suit, and I know some of you pictured an evangelist with white shoes and a red suit, but I'm talking about the Santa suit. So anyway, so I played Santa the day we went to Robertson. But the cool thing about that, we'd walk into like a second grade class or whatever, and it was kind of like, yeah, some clown dressed up like Santa. But you know what all the kids said when we'd walk in the room, because Jeff and Sarah and Bryce were in there and some other people, and Brittany, and we'd walk in there, and it was like, who cares about Santa? They'd all say, Pastor Brittany, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Bryce, or whatever. And they were jumping up to hug the pastors that walked in there because they know them from Boys and Girls Club that we do at Robertson on Thursday. And there's about 60 boys and 60 girls that are in those clubs or whatever, and it's after school. We get to tell them about Jesus and you know, just play games and give them a snack or whatever. And they love the pastors of this church. So it was like, Santa, who cares? And they were rushing past me to get to the pastors of the church. That's an awesome thing. And that's the kind of influence that these folk are having on the students on the west side. And I know Pastor Jeff can walk onto a high school campus and coaches know him and teachers know him and Webster men, the coaches down there are pleased to see him walk in there and they've blessed that community. So we're the church is serving the community, and I'm just gonna tell you, you ought to be happy at this church to have a pastoral team like this that cares about the community, is making a difference with kids here and out there. And so thank the Lord for that. So well we did yeah, you can thank you to all you guys. We did all those other, I left out Brian, he was there too, but anyway, he's sick today, so he didn't know that I'm saying all that. He's home in bed with aches and fever. We did all those other, there was an audible, oh, thank you, ladies, for caring about, somebody text him and tell him people were sad that he was sick and for him to get well and feel better. We did all those other pastoral things. We baptized believers and received new members. We said goodbye to some precious people this year, including Don Hodges and Loretta Gillis and Joyce Steele and Karen Arts Arner and Ola Lewis and Carolyn Breedlove and Tom Luker and Glenn Ramey and Audrey Sharp and Verbal Cavanaugh and Barbara Hartshorn and Ray Hale. And those are just funerals that I conducted. The other pastors all conducted funerals as well. I know a lot of you said goodbye to family members and friends this year. Others of you battled sickness or underwent surgery or just handled all the challenges that come with life. The Bible says we rejoice with those who rejoice and we grieve with those who grieve. And we've done that as a church family together in 2017. It's good to have a family, isn't it? And people say to me all the time, what do people do that don't know the Lord? I don't know. My answer is they have a really hard time. And just in the past few weeks, as we've experienced Ray's homegoing and you've walked with us through that, and it makes all the difference to know people are praying for you. And thank you on behalf of my family for the prayers and the cards and the food that was brought in and all those things. You've been gracious to us. And I know it's not just to us, but you do this all the time for people that are part of this church family. And I thank God for that. So I know we say some of the same things. I look back the last few years, and what did I say the last few years? And what I've decided is, yeah, it all just kind of becomes the same thing. So, but it's the end of the year, so I'm going to say it again. Because at the end of the year, I need to say it, I need to hear it, and maybe you do too. But here's the first thing. Hallelujah, we made it through 2017. We survived. And this may have been the best year you've ever had. Hallelujah if it was. But for some of the rest of you, it may not have been such a great year. And as I said, including my family, I began the year in January preaching the funeral for my Aunt Loretta, who was my dad's youngest sister, and she and her husband Lee had begun attending here, and then her health kind of declined and ended the year preaching the funeral for my father-in-law. We've all had our share of losses, I know. Some of us battled depression or sickness or surgeries or financial stress or loss that just about did you in. You wondered if you were going to make it. Some days it was so dark you couldn't see which way to turn and it felt hopeless, like there was just no way through and no point in going on. And I've been there and I understand. And it leaves you paralyzed with fear and grief or loneliness or regret, and you just want to throw in the towel. You want to give up. But you know what? You're still here. In spite of it all, we're still here. On a cold Sunday morning at the end of 2017, we're still here. Hallelujah. In spite of everything that the devil threw at you, you're still here. We can say like the Apostle Paul, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, he says, we don't lose heart. We've not been abandoned. We've been through some things, no question about it. 2017 may have taken a toll, but we weren't abandoned and we've not been destroyed. There may have been times we didn't feel the Lord's presence, but we can look back now and see that God was with us after all. He was at work in us and around us and through us, and because of that, we're still here. And Paul says, therefore, we don't lose heart. We've got the courage to keep going. His grace kept us and led us through 2017, and His grace will lead us through whatever 2018 holds for us as well. Well, the fact that I'm still here, it's one of those moments for me that I just kind of look at it and go, I'm still here. It doesn't matter what the year held. I'm still here. I'm still here. The devil thought he could crush me this year, but I'm still here. He thought he could make you give up on God and give up on the church, but you're still here. He thought he could discourage you. He thought he could tempt you. He thought he could hound you. He thought he could beat you up and drag you down to the point of surrender. But glory to God, on Sunday morning, you're still here. You may walk with a limp because of some of the battles you've been through, but you're still here. You may have a few new scars to show for the journey, but God's redeeming grace is turning every one of those scars to shine as stars for His glory, and you're still here. The devil tried his best, but God was at work. He's still at work, and you're still here. I think we ought to just give God thanks and praise this morning. You made it through 2017. In spite of what the devil said he had in store for you, you made it. You're not crushed. You may not be in despair. You certainly haven't been abandoned. You're not destroyed. You're not losing heart. And we're still here. Here's the second thing. Thank God for His faithfulness throughout 2017. Because if you look back, most of you can see God's faithfulness at work in your life this past year. That's how you're still standing upright this morning, because God was and is and He will be faithful. Even when you failed, even when you messed up and made mistakes, God was still faithful. The Bible says, if we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. Faithful is just who God is. It's His nature to always be faithful. Even when we struggle, even if our faith is less than it ought to be, God remains faithful. You counted on Him, and He brought you through. Circumstances may have caused you to doubt or to question, but even if you ran out of faith, God was still faithful. And listen to me, God, not only is God faithful, but God has faith in you. He believes in you. Do you realize that? That God's got faith in you, that you're going to make it, that you're going to walk in obedience to Him, that you're going to keep trusting Him, that you're going to keep resting in Him and knowing that He's ordered your steps, and so you can trust Him with the timing and the details of your life. God has faith in you. He believes you're going to keep on serving Him and obeying Him and His Word. He's got faith in you that you won't give up or you won't give in, but you'll continue to serve and live for Him. My word to you this morning is, don't let Him down. He believes in you. He's counting on you, so don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let God down. Keep living for Jesus. Don't stop. Be faithful. There's purpose in what you're doing. Be faithful and keep living for Him. God was faithful in 2017. I've got every confidence that He'll be faithful in 2018. The Bible says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus. He started a good work in you, some of you a long time ago. He started that work and He's not going to stop until He brings you safely into the day of Christ Jesus, brings you safely across and into His very presence for eternity. He started a good work. He's going to continue that good work in your life if you'll continue to trust Him. He's faithful. He believes in you. You keep believing in Him and trusting in Him, and He's going to see us through. Well, God faithfully brought us through the struggles and the trials of 2017. Now, here's my annual advice. I say something like this every year for the year that we're completing. Leave what happened in 2017 in 2017. You can't afford to drag baggage from 2017 or any other year for that matter into the new year. You'll never accomplish all you need to accomplish in the new year if you're preoccupied with the hurts of the past. You can't be all God wants you to be if you're busy just nursing old wounds or rehearsing or replaying the old hurts and insults and scars of the past. It's never going to heal, as they say. It's never going to heal if you keep picking at it. And so you need to stop it, all right? The proverb says, Brother McQueen used to quote that to me, "The wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood." In other words, just let go and stop. If you're stirring up trouble with your neighbor, stop wringing his nose all the time. That's what's keeping this thing aggravated. Stop it, all right? That's my word for you this morning. Stop it. Cut it out. Knock it off. Not his nose. What you're doing to keep things stirred up. Listen, you'll never be all God wants you to be rehearsing all that stuff. Just trying to get even with somebody because of something they said or did last year. And I know you were betrayed, you were hurt, wounded. It wasn't fair, but understand, though it wasn't fair, God's faithful in the midst of it. Turn loose of your right to be angry, your right to be bitter, your right to get even, and put all of it in God's hands. Forgive and let God handle it. And then move on. God's got more for you than just where you've kind of hunkered down here to stay in the wounds of the past. But let me warn you this morning, if you don't or if you won't, unforgiveness is a bitter poison. It'll eat away at your spirit. It'll eat away at your soul. It'll eat away at your life. It'll rob you of your joy and your peace and your happiness. It'll destroy you. God's forgiven your sins. He's forgiven your mistakes and your failures. And because He's forgiven you, He says, "Now, I've forgiven you. Freely go and forgive others." You need to release them from your anger. You need to let go. Forgive them, those who have wounded you and sinned against you. Because if you don't, it shuts off the flow of God's forgiveness to you. Jesus said, if we don't forgive others, the Father won't forgive us of our sins. You want to be forgiven, don't you? Then turn loose and forgive those who have wounded you. Let it go. You're not saying what they did to you doesn't matter. You're simply saying you're going to release them from your anger and your vengeance and your right to get even. And instead, you're going to place them in God's hands. Let God deal with them, and He'll do it the right way. And let Him deal with the hurt. And then you live your life in the freedom that comes with forgiveness. Don't let unforgiveness or bitterness cripple you and cheat you out of the life that God has for you to live. Listen to me. There's something God wants to impart to you in this coming year. Something He wants to teach you. Something He wants to show you. Something He wants you to have. Something you're to receive from Him in 2018. And you can't receive it, and you won't receive it, unless you turn loose of the past and embrace God's present. You can't experience the blessings of God for 2018 if you're holding on to the wounds of 2017. You got to turn loose of it. You're going to have to look at it and decide, I can't have a handful of God's blessing if I'm holding on to a handful of hurt and the wounds of the past. And today is a good day to just empty your hands and say, I'm not dragging that around anymore. I've dragged that around since childhood or since I was a teenager, or that's the place where that happened, or somebody hurt me, or somebody said this, and you've rehearsed it and picked at it, and the scab has come off, and it's still a raw place for you. It's time for you to let go of it. Let God deal with it. Let God deal with the offender and move on in your life into what God has for you. There's better things ahead, and life's too short to spend the rest of your days worrying, picking over something from the past. I remember telling I started saying elder lady, but this was a different church. I was a presbyter at that time, and she was just an old lady, and she was mad at the pastor, and she was just determined to just make his life miserable and pick at him and stuff. And I said to her, I don't know how old you are, but you're a mature woman and you've got some money, why don't you go on a cruise? Or why don't you just travel or do something with your money? Because I'm trying to understand this. You want to spend the rest of the time God's given you on earth and your resources to make somebody else unhappy and miserable. And I don't get that. You need to stop that. She didn't take my advice. And she went ahead doing whatever she wanted to do. Listen, if you're spending your energy, your money, your time and effort trying to make somebody else's life miserable or to pay for something they did for you, honey, bless your heart. You're making a mess out of things and you need to stop it. All right? That's the smartest thing anybody said to you today. Knock it off. Cut it out. Stop trying to make his life miserable for something that he did 20 years ago. I'm sorry he hurt you, but it's cheating you out of having a life now. He's not waking up every morning wondering if you're happy or sad. He's living his life. You're the one that's miserable, trying to make him miserable. Stop it and move on with your life. I don't know. I said first service, I didn't know if I was going to preach that second service. It's not in my notes, but it just blows me away that people spend time and money and energy and attorneys and fees and all that stuff trying to make somebody pay for something that was done so long ago. Move on with your life. Let it go. All right? And move on into what God has. Here's what Paul said. Forgetting what's behind and straining toward the prize, the upward call. There's a goal set out there. There's a prize out there. We're going to strain toward what's ahead. He says we press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward. Let God tell you. Let him speak that to you. I said it poorly this morning and I don't have a vendetta against anybody. I'm just worried about people that spend all their energy and time dwelling on something they need to let go. Enjoy life because it's going to end one of these days. And you don't want to think, well, I spent the last 40 years trying to make other people be sad. I want everybody to think, well, bless his heart, he died making everybody as happy as he could and telling them the truth. All right, well, anyway. Jesus told the disciples, if a town didn't receive them or treat them well, shake the dust off their feet and move on. And some of you 2017 didn't treat you very well. You need to decide today. I'm shaking the dust of 2017 off my feet. I'm going to move on towards the prize or the upward call of God. I'm heading for that goal. 2018 is going to be better. I've shaken the dust off and I'm moving on. We're moving into a new season at Carbondale in 2018. I don't know exactly how it's all going to play out. It's going to be exciting, I know. But here's what I'm telling you. I don't want anything from the past to hinder us or prevent us from moving into everything that God has for us in the coming year. I believe this. It's not just me talking about this. There was one point in time, and most of you weren't around when we did this, but kind of early on, I invited all the former pastors except Brother McQueen, or maybe he was already gone to heaven too. They were all gone. And I invited back the widows of the former pastors. And we gave them all a little something or whatever. And I just said, on behalf of this church, if there was anything done to you while you and your family were pastoring this church, if you were wounded, if we hurt you, if we acted unfairly or whatever, then I'm asking you to forgive us. Because you know what? I don't want anything done out of the past to hinder us from everything God has for us in the future. And they were all so kind and gracious and they loved us. I talked to Sister Helvey just a couple of weeks ago and she said, would you please tell everybody Merry Christmas? And oh, I wish I could come and see. She's 95 or 97 now. She just gave up driving because some young girl ran into her car. And she said, but you all have blessed us and we love Carbondale. She said, I guess most everybody that remembers me has already gone to heaven. She said, now the girls know to call you when I go to heaven. They're going to let you know, but I just wanted to call and tell you that I love you and I love Carbondale and so thankful for you. Folks, there's a heritage there, and that's because we've continued to love. And so, listen, we've tried to live it as a church. I pray we can live it as individuals. Leave what happened in 2017 in the past. Commit it to Jesus and get ready for what God has for us in 2018. I'm emptying my hands so I can receive whatever God has for me in the next year. And then as you leave 2017 behind, rest in the sovereignty of God. And what do I mean by that? A sovereign is one who exercises supreme power and authority. And there's only one in our life who does that. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's our sovereign. And to rest in the sovereignty of God is to submit our lives to Him and to trust His timing and His plan and His purpose and His will for our lives. And as I leave 2017 behind, I'm acknowledging that in it all, God knows best. I can rest it all in Him. I can commit it all to Him. There were things that happened in 2017 that I can't explain, I can't understand. Didn't make much sense as to why God would allow that to happen or why He allowed it to happen when it happened. I don't have answers, but what I know is that God is sovereign and He's in control. He knows best in His timing. He knows best in His plans and His purposes. And I'll mess it up if I try to control every aspect of my life. I've asked Him to be Savior and Lord of my life because I know He's God. And I know He's good. And I know He's loving. And He's faithful. And He's just. And He's righteous. And He's truthful. And He's wise. And He's all-knowing. And He alone is worthy of my absolute and total trust. I can trust Him and His sovereign actions in my life, and you can too. And so what I'm telling you is commit your life to Him and then rest in the sovereignty of God. What He decides is good for me is and will be absolutely the best for me. God's pattern and purpose for your life is higher and wiser and better than anything you can set for yourself. So walk in obedience and trust the Lord in the path in which He's leading you. If you look back, you may be able to see from this vantage point the places where God worked unexpectedly in your behalf in this past year. You might be able to see already where God caused all things, even the hard and difficult things, to work together for your good. You may already, on the last day of 2017, be able to look back somewhere in this past year and see that thing that you thought was the worst thing that ever happened to you, how God worked it and it turned out to be the best thing. Do you remember the worst day of 2017? You thought, boy, I lost my job and now I got nothing. I got no benefits. And 3 weeks later, you got the best job you've ever had with more money and better benefits. And you didn't have to deal with those low lives at the last job you had. You got a better group of people to work with. And you think, well, boy, losing my job was the best thing that ever happened. Or you lost your job and on the next job you met the man of your dreams or the girl of your dreams or whatever. And now you're married and you'll live happily ever after. Well, there's a fantasy. But anyway, God's already worked something better than what you even expected. And already from this vantage point, you can look back and say, yeah, I've seen the faithfulness of God. But if you can't see it, I'm telling you that you can still rest in God's sovereignty. He's still at work, and I believe He'll yet cause all things to work together for your good and for His glory. Give Him time and trust Him. Trust Him with the parts that you can't understand. Trust Him with the mystery that presents itself to your faith, the questions that confront your faith, and submit it all to Jesus. And let me just remind you this morning, we're not promised answers to all of our questions, but we're promised His presence to go with us through every situation we face. And I can tell you that regardless of how it may have appeared to you over this past year, not one moment, not one part of the journey were you ever separated from God's love or His presence. I remind you again this morning, the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of His law. And God's given us His Word and revealed Himself to us. He's shown us the way we're to live in His Word. But even then, when we walk in obedience, there'll still be things that we don't understand. The secret things, He called them. The mystery. And what do? We rest in God's sovereignty. We trust Him that God is at work. Don't try to figure Him out. Just trust Him. He's not a mystery to be solved or a puzzle to be worked out. He's the God who makes Himself known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Get to know Him better. And as you get to know Him, you'll trust Him even more. Amen. And finally, as we say farewell to 2017, thank God that nothing in 2017 could separate us from the love of God. 2017 had its challenges, had its sorrows, had its victories, and its defeats and obstacles. It left us with mysteries we couldn't solve or explain. But in spite of that, there's one thing I know. God still loves us, and nothing can separate us from His love. He proved that love at Calvary when He sent His Son to take our place, to bear our sins and die on the cross so we could have eternal life. And I may not be able to make sense out of everything else, but I know Jesus loves me because He gave His life for me. He loves me and He's preparing good things for me and for you in 2018. And ultimately, He loves me and He's preparing a place for me where I can be with Him for eternity. That's how much He loves me. He wants to spend eternity with me and with you, and nothing can separate us from that kind of love. Stay in love with Jesus and keep trusting Him regardless. Paul says it this way: in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life tried this year, but it couldn't separate us from His love. The devil tried, but his schemes couldn't separate us from God's love. Circumstances couldn't conquer us or separate us from His love. Neither life nor death could defeat us, for we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, and we are still solidly in love with Jesus, and His love is applied to us. And Paul is sure of his God and sure of God's faithfulness, that nothing in the present in 2017 and nothing in the future in 2018 can separate us from God's love either. We've made it this far, and thank God, whatever the future brings, we'll make it through that as well. So I tell you what, let's stand together this morning. Let's thank God for His faithfulness. Let's thank God we can trust Him. Thank God we can rest in His sovereignty. And let's thank God for another year. Amen. Father, we thank You this morning. Bless the name of the Lord, for You have kept us through this year. Your faithfulness has been shown to us throughout the seasons of 2017. Your provision was there for us. Your grace was upon us, Lord, through the good times and the bad, through the highs and the lows, through the victories and the defeats. Everywhere we went, Lord, we saw that You were there. You went before us and You were behind us. You were on either side. You surrounded us. Your grace was sufficient for us. And through everything we encountered and through everything we faced, we found You to be faithful. How we love You, Lord. I want us to take just a moment this morning as you think about this year. Are the things that happened to you in 2017 that you look back and think, I need to just let go of that? You may not have another chance today. You may have events or a party to go to or whatever. Someplace you just need to take this moment this morning to say, God, there were some wounds and hurts in 2017 that, boy, it's not been easy for me to move past, but I want to leave it here this morning. I want to let it go. I want to drop it here. So when I walk out of this service this morning, I'm not dragging any baggage from 2017. All those wounds, I'm leaving them at the altar. I'm leaving them there, Lord. Maybe there's some. Maybe you just need to physically walk down here so you can say, I left it at the front. I dropped it down there. If you do, just come on. We're going to pray together this morning. You just need to let go of something. You need to drop that wound, that hurt, that baggage of the past. You're letting go. Somebody hurt you. Somebody abused you. Somebody wounded you. Somebody betrayed you. Somebody lied about you. Made up something that wounded you, that cost you dearly. But you're not going to carry that into 2018. You want to walk in freedom and in victory. And today's the day. This is the place where you're going to let it go. Lord, grant them the grace they need to just turn loose of it today. To just let go of it and walk into 2018 full of promise and full of victory. Lord, knowing that You are going with them and it's going to be all right. You've been with us through 2017. You're going to be with us all the way through 2018 as well, because You're the faithful God. You'll never forget us, never abandon us, never leave us, and we'll never be separated from Your love. How thankful we are this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Andre Crouch wrote a tune years and years ago. In fact, it was one of the first ones that he wrote, I think. It says, through it all. That's what it says right there. Through it all. Let's sing that. Oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. Let's sing that verse. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation,
God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Oh, let's sing through it all, through it all. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for every storm He brought me through. Aren't you thankful He brought you through? For if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God. That's the reason I say, through it all, through it all,
I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God, through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend.
One more time, through it all.
Whether it's been good to you or bad, it's just about done. Last few gasps of 2017. Make it count the rest of this day, but let's walk into 2018 with the confident assurance that He that hath begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He's going to carry it on through 2018. Watch as He shows Himself faithful in your behalf. Amen. God's got something good in store. God bless you. Happy New Year to you. Let's hit 2018 and make it the best year Carbondale's ever had. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.